we can't keep spending money we don't have and borrowing it. This endless borrowing is going to have consequences, and we have to recognize we can't keep doing that. And the third thing is just essentially the big broad categories the government needs become smaller. Again, that'd be a big change if the voter population says, well, no, we don't want more government. We recognize if we really are going to have a better economy, government needs to be smaller. And voters have to start voting for that. And if they don't, then we're just going to keep trundling along towards the next collapse. Ever since 2008, we've been treading water, essentially, really not making much progress. The very top is doing great, but the rest of us have been slowly sagging. Some of these sags are going to be a lot bigger and slow if we don't start changing what government's doing.
Addressing the $16 trillion national debt requires sacrifices everywhere. What do you have specific examples of federal spending or tax provisions that would benefit the state and district that you would support cutting or reducing?
But even your question has some prejudice that I would disagree with, because I don't think I'm looking for answers that help just our district. I'm looking for things that help the entire country. In other words, I'm not looking for us to have advantage at the expense of other areas of the country. As far as where we need to do some reductions, there essentially is no category where we cannot afford to do some cutting back. There's one category. I would say veterans benefits probably is an area which we shouldn't be trying to reduce that. But any other aspect of government has to be cut back. We're not just a little bit overspending money we don't have. We're way overspending money we don't have. And there's no area of government that doesn't need to be cut back at this point.
Are there other examples of just really of really wasteful fraud and abuse that that stand out for you?
Well, anytime you have government, there's going to be poor choosing and spending of money. Just take the general category of welfare, for example. In other words, everyone likes to be able to help out the down and out, but they also have to recognize that for every dollar that's provided as welfare to someone, there's $2 that's going to government to do this. That's very inefficient. $1 out of three is actually being used for the purpose of what it was created. That's not a very good way of doing it. I think there's much better ways of doing it. But in general, government is not a good vehicle for doing a lot of things. We need to have a better focus for how governments organize and where they spend money. So I'm not just going trying to attack fraud and abuse. It's the size of government's the problem. It's doing things it shouldn't be doing.
A couple of years ago, you talked about that the federal government should not be involved in commerce. And I guess one thing that I'm thinking of hearing that is, with the Affordable Care Act in effect, were there changes that you would like to see in health care, or would you just seek to repeal it overall?
The Affordable Care Act, I don't think there's any aspect of that is beneficial to the people. I think it's government bureaucracy. It's telling people what to do with things that should be their own decision. I think it's a ill-thought idea entirely. There definitely is going to be people who I think we can't afford to help. But in my mind, you have to have some realistic expectations of what we can help. It's kind of like if 10% of society needs assistance, they just really can't function on their own, we need to help them out. Well, the other 90% definitely can take some of their money and give it to the 10% so that they have a life, that they're not just laying in the gutter. But when you start creeping that percentage, say, well, it's not 10% that needs help, it's 30% or 40%. Well, we're getting into the category where over half the Americans are getting assistance or programs from the federal government, and I think that's a bad concept. In other words, we should be helping out the lower end to help them out, but it's not like the upper half can supply the lifestyle for the lower half. I just think American people are much more capable than that.
Who is largely behind your campaign? What kind of donor base do you have in that region?
That's another big category I have, because it gets brought up a lot, because in all my races, my opponents have, not all my opponents, but usually there's at least one opponent that has much more fundraising than I do. My philosophy on that really is that it's probably the second biggest bamboozle. The first bamboozle I mentioned earlier, that our Federal Reserve System is out there to look out for all of us when it's the hugest wealth transfer system, legalized counterfeiting organization we have. Well, the second biggest bamboozle is the idea that candidates who have a lot of money behind them are better candidates. Well, only way you can raise the big money for campaigns is if the people who are in business with government, in other words, the cozy relationship that some businesses have with government, want to maintain that. Well, the profit they're getting by their relationship, they wish to maintain it, so they donate heavily to candidates they think will maintain it. And they definitely aren't going to be donating to me, because I don't think that's proper or acceptable, and I would be looking to end that.
Congress has been criticized for not doing enough to address gun violence. What would you like to see done?
I don't think it's gun violence is the problem. I think it's doing a little bit better of identifying people who shouldn't have guns. Right now, we're seeing have an emphasis in identifying who has guns, and actually you're going after the people who tend to be law-abiding and improper about them, but the people who aren't, not necessarily so. And it seems to me it would make a lot more sense to make lists of people who shouldn't have access to guns as opposed to making a list of people who should, because under the Constitution, all of us should have the right to defend ourselves.
In your view, what strengths and challenges are we facing with public education right now?
Wow, that's a big one. I would really say my view on that has really changed through the years. My family's really been involved in education quite a bit. My mother, a teacher and also a school psychologist. My dad's a retired chemistry professor, and he worked in the university state system also. And I've always thought education is great. I've served on the Aboriginal School Board also. But I see some aspects of public education have really been deteriorating, and getting a handle of what that is hasn't been really apparent to me what it is. But I do know it's in the category of competition. In other words, right now when you're in Illinois, wherever you are, you are identified which schools you're going to go to and who you're going to pay money to. I think one of the things we could do is to provide vouchers for public-approved schools, whether they're run by government or run by private entities, that they can start saying, yes, we're open for business. And I would like to see where anybody in Illinois can participate and with the voucher from the state and go to any of these approved schools. I just think that would enter an aspect that would really be valuable. The other aspect is that I don't think the federal government has any business being involved in education at all. I would want to end all the federal programs. This really should be a local, regional thing to deal with. This is definitely not interacting with another foreign land. This is domestic, and it should be handled totally at the state level or even smaller possibly. But federal government should not be involved in education.
What do you see your approach is this time taking on a freshman lawmaker, an incumbent like Rodney Davis?
Well, but, to me, it's not so much the opponents, but what's going on with the people, the voters. And one thing that I've learned by going out and talking with them, there is a shift that's happening amongst regular voters. In other words, this is my third time that I've run for Congress, and I can tell you that the number of people who are agreeing with me that there's a problem has really gone up. So really my approach is that I really want these people who recognize that there's really, we're in deep trouble in this country, to be motivated to vote in the primary system. I still don't think that the majority of people understand that we have a problem, but there's now a significant minority who recognize that things aren't going good, and it's not a party thing, it's a government too big thing.